Boy, are we getting into it today. My name is Nick Oliveri. This is the Nick Oliveri Show. I'm a Ukrainian-born best-selling novelist, 14 published works of fiction. You can check me out all over the place. Amazon and such links to my bestsellers are below. Working on a new one, a new big-time work. But that's besides the point. The Nick Oliveri Show, this is where we talk about great art, great people, and the many things in between. You probably saw the title. And I'm a best-selling novelist. I'm into art. There's this notion that there's high art and there's lowbrow. Like, you know, have you ever heard the term like lowbrow comedy or slapstick, right? Like the kind of Happy Gilmore, Adam Sandler type of movies where, you know, cheap laughs, vulgar, right? Vulgar. You know where that word comes from, right? Vulgar doesn't mean explicit. It doesn't mean swearing or sexual themes. Vulgar actually comes from baseness, and it's actually a classist term. So we're getting into Lil Wayne. On this show, you know, as a novelist, I love art. As I said, I love studying paintings. I read about Van Gogh like every day. I read about Basquiat. Those are two of my favorites, but I just got finished with a book about Caravaggio and his life, and I can go on and on and on from there. I was just in Madrid, the Prado, took some illegal photos of his black paintings, Goya's black paintings, but we're just going to get into it. I'm rambling. Lil Wayne is the subject of this. Now, who is he? I'm not going to give him much of an intro. I'm just going to tell you what he means to me and how he fits into this show. So, real quick, Lil Wayne is a New Orleans-born rapper, a rapman, if you will. That's really about it. You know, you could say so many things, but essentially Lil Wayne has had a long, long-lived career that is still ongoing to this day as of October 2025 as I record this. Where he is still active and not retired from the music industry, dating all the way back to his first release, I think, in 97. So, but why does this connect? I'm a novelist. I like classical literature. I like paintings. Well, I also love hip-hop, okay? And I'm tired of the slander and the nonsense and the mislabeling that hip-hop has received, yes, from older generations, but really, I know a lot of people my age or even younger that don't listen to hip hop, that prefer, you know, country or whatever else because, oh, it's stupid. They rap about the same stuff. Well, a lot of artists do. A lot of artists are, quote, clones. That's a term in the industry. Like if a record exec finds someone that's very successful, like Future, makes a lot of money, keyword money, like say Future, the hip hop artist. Future always says in his songs, like, I can't name all the times they try to clone me, something like that, right? And that basically just means, oh, we're going to make Future a business model. When really, Future is an artist. This show is about art. I am about art. I am an artist, okay? So I'm starting, or rather restarting, and this isn't activism to just, like, put hip-hop in a good light. What I'm just doing is bridging, quote, high art with something that is, quote, more vulgar, and two things that I really love, which is literature, poetry, and hip hop. And who better to start off with than the best rapper alive, Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne. We're going to be, just for today, reviewing and analyzing The Life of Mr. Carter, his 2018 Life of Mr. Carter. It was a track on Carter 5 Deluxe Edition. And we're just going to be taking the lyrics without the beat as a poem. I'm just going to study it as a poem. Yes, it'll get vulgar technically. And no, Mr. Dwayne Michael Carter Jr., I am not trying to reproduce your song when I recite your lyrics. I am strictly using this for analytical and educational purposes only. So this show, we talk about great art, great people, and the many things in between. Lil Wayne is definitely a great artist. In my opinion, Lil Wayne, in more than a couple ways, is a great person, and he produces great art, and has, at least, produced great art. Here's his song, Life of Mr. Carter. We're just going to get into it, and I'm not going to contextualize anything else at all. So he starts off, what's harder, life or Mr. Carter. Now remember, Carter is his last name, Dwayne Michael Carter Jr. So life of Mr. Carter, about him. What's harder, life or Mr. Carter? Bawling till my hair is as white as Johnny Carson. You don't have to beg because I'm fresh out of pardons. Little voices in my head said, don't mind the little voices, whoa. Unquote. This is one stanza here, okay? Guys, I read a lot of poetry. Of course, I read mostly prose fiction, but I read everything. I'm reading nonfiction, whatever, right? I read a lot of poetry that cannot do this. What this very first stanza does, it can't do this. Lil Wayne is the master of punchlines. The master. He is the hip-hop equivalent in terms of punchlines and brevity to a Mark Twain. He's like the hip-hop equivalent of a Mark Twain, or the literary equivalent of Mark Twain, whatever. So what's harder, life or Mr. Carter? He asks us this. So first, in poetry can be anything, right? Including this. He's using a rhetorical strategy right out of the gate. He's literally asking you, the listener, a question, because he purveys this in a song. It's not necessarily meant to be read, but I'm reading it and analyzing. He poses a question to you already. This is a strong rhetorical tactic. He's begging a question. What's harder, life or Mr. Carter? So now, and he put a metaphor in there, because what is life, guys? On three. One, two, three. What's life? Hard. Life is hard, right? And he's saying, what's harder, life or Mr. Carter? Now, what does it mean in hip-hop to be hard? Pause. If you're hard, in like hip-hop vernacular, we'll say, you are tough. You're strong. You're resilient. You're resolute. So, and at the same time, he's asking the listener. He's asking you a question. He's directly engaging you from the start. And then he goes right into the next line. Bawling till my hair is as white as Johnny Carson. Bawling is just, you're doing your thing. You're being yourself. You're going at it. Till my hair is as white as Johnny Carson. And then he's also the king of references. Lil Wayne is. And so Johnny Carson was the king of late night shows. And he was kind of the initial kind of big grand, not great, godfather of the late night. Johnny Carson's a legend. Look up a color picture of him. His hair is as white as snow. So it's just kind of a funny one there. You don't have to beg because I'm fresh out of pardons. So he already begged a question one line beforehand. And then he's engaging you. He says you. That's not always very common in songs. So he's using a rhetorical tactic where he's engaging you, the listener, right away. He's literally talking to you, okay? And these are things that, like, I certainly didn't pick up my first, second, third time listening to this, but you don't have to beg because I'm fresh out of pardons. When you pardon someone, you're excusing them, right? You hear, you know, like Donald Trump pardoned Kodak Black, right? Or something like that. Presidential pardon. You don't have to beg because I'm fresh out of pardons. He's saying, I will not forgive you. But it's such a nice way of not curtailing, but connecting this A, B, B, C stanza. So it's an A, B, B, C. Bawling till my hair is as white as Johnny Carson. And then the internal rhyme, or not internal rhyme, but the rhyme at the end of the next line, pardons. Little voices in my head said, don't mind the little voices. Whoa. Little voices in my head said, don't mind the little voices. So he's using meta commentary here. He's saying there are little voices in my head. And then in quotes, he says what his little voices are saying, and his little voices are telling him to not mind the little voices. That creates a whole possible universe of thought there. You might say, Nick, you're looking into this way too deeply. No, I'm just analyzing this poetically. He's saying he could have infinite voices. It could be schizoaffective. It could be just that his mind is racing or otherwise. It's insane. And he literally punctuates that stanza by saying, whoa, because that's a crazy thought. Whoa. Next stanza. What's harder, love or Mr. Carter? He's diving deep here. Because, guys, life is hard, and love also is, 3, 2, 1, hard. Love is hard. Especially when these hoes ain't right, these hoes ain't loyal. That's him saying that. Especially when these hoes ain't right, these hoes ain't loyal. Shit, who's wrong, who's right? Just ask my lawyer. Right or wrong, I'm still gonna take his advice. He take my orders. I'll be A-okay instead of all right or kind of sorta. And before I ever take that for granted, I'll take the charges. See, you can't believe in all of the hype you hear at the barber. If the odds are stacked against us, they're likely to stack them on us. Okay, there's a lot here. Love or Mr. Carter, what's harder? And once again, he's re-engaging the listener, reader in this time, but he's re-engaging the listener. He's once again begging the question, am I harder than love? But when he says this, you know, he's also the king of non sequiturs. So he doesn't, Lil Wayne, as we go further in this series with different artists and different songs, different rappers, different lyrics, Lil Wayne is completely non sequitur versus, say, someone like a J. Cole or a Kendrick, maybe, that are a little bit more into stories and narratives. Say a Nas is the master at this, stories kind of throughout the song. Lil Wayne is all about non sequitur punchline, non sequitur punchline, non sequitur punchline. And that's what we see here, because he said, he continues on though in the second line of the stanza, especially when these hoes ain't right, these hoes ain't loyal. So he's saying, he's emphasizing how hard love is when, quote, these hoes, as he refers to them as, but like he's saying that women are not, they're not loyal in this day and age, or just in general, for whatever reason, they're not loyal. So that makes love harder than you thought it was. So he's actually, he's using more rhetorical tactics, and he's actually saying that he could be just as hard, just as tough, or tougher than love. And he's telling you how tough love can be because, to his quote, these hoes ain't right, these hoes ain't loyal. And then he goes, shit, who's wrong, who's right? Just ask my lawyer. Now, the way that he puts it, it's not technically a rhyme when you look at it. But of course, when he raps it, loyal and lawyer, lawyer, loyal, I'm not going to try to rap it as he does, or really in general, but he actually rhymes lawyer and loyal. So that gets into more of a vocal ability that he inflects. But who's wrong, who's right? Just ask my lawyer. Okay, so now another metaphor. And then he continues the metaphor. Right or wrong, I'm still going to take his advice. He take my orders. Now, here's something bridging the gap, once again, between like, oh, high poetry. I want to dispel this notion that literature is ivory tower and hip-hop is this vulgar and base genre that's only for, you know, degenerates, sung and rapped by degenerates, and literature is just written by, you know, these ivory tower academics. No. Couldn't be further from the truth. It couldn't be further from the truth. So I'm reading this right now. And by the way, I love this song. I just want you to know that. But so I know the cadence to it. But when he says, shit, who's wrong, who's right, just ask my lawyer, right or wrong, I'm still gone. Take his advice, he take my orders. This is a poetic device. What it's called, it doesn't matter. He says, I'm still gone. We all know that in, quote, proper English, I'm still going to take his advice, he would say, if but in order to make it fit in terms of the cadence of the song, I go, dun, 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 wrong, I'm still gone, take his advice, he take my order. So there's a meter. There's a meter to this, and that wouldn't be achieved if he said, even gonna, I'm still gonna take his advice. I'm still gonna take, it bleeds. By getting rid of the gonna or even the going to, he's able to then use the word take. I'm still gonna take. It's an easy bleed in where he doesn't have to stop or pause. He just continues on. Very, very unique, and very well and tactically used device there. I'll be A-okay instead of all right or kinda sorta. So this is just, now you could think, like, if you're listening, it's just like, okay, it's word soup. It's not. I'll be A-okay, he's saying. A-okay meaning he's peachy. He's A-okay. Instead of all right or kinda sorta. It's self-explanatory, but he keeps going into these non sequiturs way too deeply for a rapper or poet or lyricist with average skill, in way too few words than the average person would be able to do. It's pretty fantastic. And we'll continue. And before I ever take that for granted, I'll take the charges. So he's getting back from a non sequitur. I'll be A-okay instead of all right. Da-da-da. He goes back into that kind of like courtroom saga, courtroom drama. And he brings us back into this, and it probably conjures up images in your mind. That's what's so clever and about this specific stanza is it's evocative. It is actually a metaphor that goes on for more than one or two lines, which Lil Wayne is usually known for. And before I ever take that for granted, I take the charges. So he says, no, I'm never going to take that for granted. Because if you don't know, Lil Wayne's been to prison before. He says, I'll take the charges. I'll go to prison before I ever take my well-being for granted. So it's just, I mean, the scheme, the ability, and then you actually have to look and or listen in order to get what he's saying while he's putting these rhymes and these evocative metaphors together. It's very impressive. And then he goes, see, you can't believe in all the hype you hear at the barber. If the odds are stacked against us, they're likely to stack them on us. He's saying, you could notch this up to, maybe he's saying to the black community. Maybe he's saying, when he's saying against us, maybe he's saying to people that are just not in the ruling class. Maybe he's saying just my crew, just me and the people I grew up with, me and Tez and T and his boys, right? Or whatever. But now he's painting like an underdog story. They're likely to stack them on us. Who's they? Well, this whole stanza has been about lawfare, lawyers involved, the justice system, the civil court, criminal court, which he's familiar with both. They're likely to stack them on us. Guys, when he says that, he's saying, no, I'm going to put you under the jailhouse, as in, if the odds are stacked against us, they're likely to stack them on us. So, but here's the thing about the poetry here. Here's where the poetry gets absolutely insane. It's another double entendre. Because stacked against us, they're likely to stack them on us. He's referring to a metaphor, being the judge threw the book at me, or the judge is going to throw the book at them. He's going to say they're likely to kill us, and or, because it's a double, maybe triple entendre, they're likely to throw the book at us. Because stack, so you stack books. It's very evocative. It's very imaginative. And I see the full picture here. And I'm trying to paint it just how I see it. Next stanza. Lil Tune, Jurassic in the room, Tyrannosaurus. So Lil Tune is nickname, Jurassic in the room, Tyrannosaurus. Okay. This is a setup line. This is clearly a setup line. Now, just saying Tyrannosaurus after Jurassic in the room, you know, it's not even nearly as an imaginative as some of his ladder bars or even the stanzas we just went over beforehand. But Jurassic in the room, what does that mean? Well, he kind of leaves us hanging, and it's a setup line. It's a setup line. Or is it? I ain't steal it, he says. I took it. I ain't crooked. I'm catacornered. So this is insane. I ain't steal it. I took it. I ain't crooked. I'm catacornered. I didn't steal it. So he's saying, I didn't commit a legal crime, but I did take it. He's admitting to taking whatever it is, but he's saying it wasn't a crime, and I ain't crooked, as he says. I'm catacornered. He's saying he's beyond crooked. He's saying he's basically almost wicked. But the way he says it in the song, if you're to listen to it, he actually doesn't, it's not a rhyme technically, but he blurs and we'll say connects Tyrannosaurus with catacornered. And he says it in a way that blends. But here's the crazy thing. The next line ends on orchard. So orchard still works. Orchard is a legitimate rhyme for catacornered. But he said catacornered. And if my fruits of labor were ripe, I would have an orchard. That's another non sequitur. That's another non sequitur. But it's a metaphor. He's saying, I did not get my just due. I have worked longer and harder and more vigorously. And I have not been compensated appropriately for what I've done. Something has been taken from me. And what's that? He was talking about stealing in the line before it. I ain't steal it, I took it. So somehow, maybe, and this is the beauty of poetry, and this is kind of what I want to end this first part on. It's just like any other art. I don't like this song. Oh, I didn't really enjoy that movie. Oh, that was an awesome book. Oh, I hated that movie or whatever. You could take it however you want. The way I take this and the reason why I think it's so amazing is I ain't steal it, I took it. He's actually saying, I believe this does actually connect to a real lawsuit with Birdman, who I think he sued for like $50 million. That was his manager, if you don't know, which makes this all the more impressive that he's able to do this in two lines. I ain't steal it, I took it. I ain't crooked, I'm catacornered. So he's saying, I'm not a criminal, but I did take things, as in I sued Birdman. And if my fruits of labor were ripe, I would have an orchard. So that's a couplet rhyme right there. It's a couplet rhyme. And here's the thing, it's a justification. It's a justification. Because he's saying, no. If my fruits of labor were ripe, I would have an orchard. He's saying, I have less than what I should have. So if I took it, which I did, it's not a crime. I took it, but it's not a criminal case. Moving on. But I'm nauseous from my ups and downs and back and forwards. Shit, Mr. Carter, eyes are always on you. So I smile from the camera and hide from the reporters. That's just another evocative, really awesome metaphor. But I'm nauseous from my ups and downs and back and forwards. I actually go back to this line, like, quite often. I love this line. But I'm nauseous from my ups and downs and back and forwards. Who cannot relate to that? See, here's the great thing about great literature. It's very relatable. I don't know how many of you listening read, like, say, Dostoevsky or, I don't know, name them. If you read, like, Tolstoy, those are Russian literature, Shakespeare, but someone later, say Dickens, I don't know, read Dickens, or Steinbeck would be a great example of like classic literature. We can move forward to, it's keeping that era, like Hemingway. Fitzgerald, whatever. Okay. I'm rambling now, but great literature, the characters should be very relatable. So Lil Wayne, to 99.999% of us, does not live a life we could relate to. He does not live a life you could relate to, right? But he somehow, and this is a rhetorical tactic, it's a literary tactic, and it just sounds really freaking good. It's very evocative. If my, sorry, not that. But I'm nauseous from my ups and downs and back and forwards. That we can all relate to. At least I know I can. I come back to that line. On a tough day, usually when I'm on one of my downs or my back and forwards, I could go through a lot of ups and downs. I don't know about you guys. Lil Wayne says he's nauseous from it. So once again, it's a metaphor. I think of it like a roller coaster. So he's metaphorizing life in one line. And I just think that's fantastic. Next line. Eyes are always on you, so I smile for the camera and hide from the reporters. He blunts the end of reporters. So reporters, yeah. So it actually goes with yeah. But it also is an... This is an A, B, 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 B rhyme scheme. Do you understand how crazy that is? I'm trying to bridge the gap here between people who listen to hip hop or just hip hop in general and in literature in general, high literature in general. If, you know, what Lil Wayne is doing here is pretty fantastic. Now, anyone could really come up with an A, B, 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 B rhyme scheme because it goes Tyrannosaurus, Catter-cornered, Orchard, Forwards, Yah, which he actually blends in, so I'm counting it as a B, Reporters, Motors. Tyrannosaurus, Catter-cornered, Orchard, Forwards, Yours, Reporters, Motors. That's an... How do I convey how impressive it is to do that in the way he did it with non sequiturs relating to you using rhetorical tactics as we went over? And but by the way, this is just this stanza. I'm not talking about the first two stanzas we already went over. Those are all of the end rhymes. It might be a B, 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 or just all A's. I think it's not even a... No, it's not a couplet. Tyrannosaurus, Catter-cornered, Orchard, Forwards. Yeah, it's not technically all end rhymes, but at the end of each line, he blends them to audibly rhyme. And that's the beauty of music and audio in general. That's why poetry, just reading it, can actually be fantastic, because there's more to the imagination, and it's great. But also, and you've heard it too, you've heard covers of songs. When Lil Wayne is rapping this, every single end of each line in this stanza rhymes. It's insane. Anyone could just put seven. Anyone could put seven lines together. Anyone with over a 90 IQ could put seven lines together and rhyme them. What Lil Wayne does here is not just perform them well, and you know, listen to the song if you haven't, please, but he paints pictures. He uses metaphors, and then another metaphor, and then another metaphor, and then a justification for why he did something that references his life, but only in a subtle way. He's using so much subtlety. So I smile for the camera and hide from the reporters. What is he saying there? I didn't even realize this before. The thing about Lil Wayne too, especially in songs like these, he has so many punchlines. I've listened to this song like hundreds of times, and I really do mean that. When he says, "So I smile for the camera and hide from the reporters," he's literally just saying, "I only want to look good. I don't want them to know anything about me." because the reporters are venomous. But if I smile for the camera, I want to look good. I don't want people to hear about me. Or at least I don't want to be in the tabloids. And it's suggestive because he's saying, well, maybe I'm doing some stuff. I don't know. And then he says, quote, roll a blunt up in this bitch. When it burn, it start my motor. He's referencing, guys, do you understand? It's actually insane. He's referencing, roll a blunt up in this B. When it burn, it start my motor. He's referencing a combustion engine. He's saying when he lights his blunt, it starts his motor. It's a combustion engine. Once again, another metaphor inside of a metaphor. Shoulder shrugging in this bitch because the world is on my shoulders. Shit. So yes, he rhymes bitch and shit. Clever. But shoulder shrugging in this because the world is on my shoulders. Using expletives, especially at the end of rhymes, is definitely a poetic, lyrical tactic of Lil Wayne's. And if you are familiar with him at all, you would understand. But when you're listening to this or reading this or hearing this right now, he's literally saying, yeah, I'm shoulder shrugging. What does shoulder shrugging usually do? Shoulder shrugging, you don't really care. Because the world is on my shoulders. So he's saying he could shrug the world off. He's saying he's using two two different metaphors to say so many things. So we'll end with this stanza. But before we do, just think about, oh, shoulder shrug. Like asterisk, shoulder shrug. Put in a meme. If you're reading it in a novel, she shrugged her shoulders. It's the classic I don't know sign. It's the classic maybe I don't care. But it's not hard to shrug your shoulders. And he says, because the world is on my shoulders. That's why he's shrugging them. And of course, he performs this and raps it and makes it flow and makes it great on this awesome beat. But he's actually saying he's so strong. He's so with it. He's so about it. He's been through so much. He's weathered so many storms that he's shoulder shrugging just because the world is on his shoulders. So he's feeling so much pressure that not only can he take it, but he can take it casually. That's big time, man. That's big time. Clearly, especially due to the, like, very, very lyrical nature of this song. We don't have much more time, but I this is a series that I kind of explored earlier on in this, you know, episode's library, but here, or this show's library, but this is an episode I wanted to make, and this is kind of a mini series that I wanted to reignite. And what better song and what better artist to do it on to start off with. This is awesome. I loved it. I enjoyed this a lot. And like I said, links below. Check me out on Amazon. Whatever. I mean, links abound. Whatever. But wherever you are, I hope you're having a fantastic day. And if you're not, I hope I made your day a little bit better. I hope you learned something. Or I hope maybe you just changed your mind or enjoyed a meal. I don't know. Have a good one. Peace.